Father, I thank you, Lord, for our gathering today. We give you, Lord, praise and glory wherever your children are. As it is written in the scriptures, they continue daily in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread and in prayers and in fellowship. And so we're doing the same on this platform. And we give you all the praise and glory. We pray for inspiration of the Almighty as we do this session today together. Praise the Lord. Let it be so. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be today. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. I'm hoping that nobody is new to this series. We've had about 4 or even 5 days on this topic, so nobody should be new to it. But today, like I said, we want to do a faith lab. I'm going to tell you first a story from the Bible, maybe one or two stories. And then I want you to identify what keys were working in those stories. If you are able to speak, you know, that will be better. If you are not able to speak, you can at least type it in the chat room. I'll try to glance over there. I would prefer if you can speak. Praise the Lord. So let's consider, I'm just tell a few stories from the Bible. You have, as part of the exercise this morning is you have to listen to this story and then identify if you can spot any principles or any concepts or any keys that were in operation or being used. Now, remember, we described, you know, a key could be something that is used to open or lock. It can also be something that is could be used to gain comprehension. Keys can also be in terms of, you know, the kingdom of heaven. When we talk about keys, well, it could be a way to gain entrance, right? As an entrance must, also be keyed. You know, as a key to always an entrance. The entrance into the kingdom, according to Jesus, in John chapter 3 and verse 3, it's being born again. So the new birth is the entrance to the kingdom. Well, there's a key to that. How do you get in there? Well, it's the gospel. When the gospel is preached, you know, people understand that they can receive faith for justification to enter into the kingdom. So there's keys there. There are also keys and underline the principles or ordinances. Those are principles that govern how things function in the kingdom. We remember talking about God's conversation with Job in Job 38. We called that out multiple times. One key verse there. See, I just used the word key. Key in the way I just used it now means one critical or vital, you know, part, you know, so that's another way we use key. It's vital comprehension, gives us vital comprehension. In verse 33 of Job 38, we understand by reading that there are ordinances in heaven that have dominion over the earth, over things that happen in the earth. Because that's the question that God posed to Job. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven, and canst thou set dominion upon the earth? So, we deduce, therefore, that these ordinances are principles, systems, laws, and things like that, by which things function in the heavenlies. And if someone knows it, because God is asking Job, do you know it? Can you set dominion? So that tells us that the knowledge of these ordinances can actually give us the ability to control certain things upon the earth. But dominion is control, and so on and so forth. We have listed many keys, and I challenge the people to try to find other keys in the Bible. You know, and so part of our exercise is discovery. You know, so even the title of this room is Discovering the Keys of the Kingdom of Heaven. And how do we discover them? Well, you know, they're all inside the Bible. But we got to find them. We can see scenarios in the Bible, stories or teachings from the Bible that may indicate one or more of these keys, and then we have to find them. There are many keys in the Bible. You know, there are some people through the scriptures that were able to latch on to certain principles. They understood certain things, and they used that understanding to get something that they wanted from the Lord. You know, so from beginning of the book, which is the book of Revelation, the book of Genesis, sorry, all the way to the last book, which is the book of Revelation. That's what I meant to say. From Genesis to Revelation, there are, you know, instances where we may find concepts and keys. How did these things happen, you know, and what principle was operating, and so on and so forth. Even God at the beginning, the book of Genesis chapter 1, when he was creating things and calling things out, what principles did he put in place? Because that's the first mention of, or the first insight we have into certain principles. Like, you know, what was the principle that God was using in the creation? First, you know, these things were in his mind, right? He called forth the first set of things. And then he began to use those things to produce other things. The things that God called forth that were in place, once those things were in place, he began to call forth other things by using those things that were just created or are now in place to bring forth other things. For instance, if you look at the book of Genesis chapter 1, we see the very first verse is a summary of everything. Beginning, God created heaven and earth. That's the beginning of heaven and earth. Not God's beginning, because God had no beginning. But at some point, he created the heaven and the earth. Then we began to see some details, you know. So we see that in verse 2, we're now talking about some things that were there, but they were out of order. They were not in the form and the shape that God liked, but they were already there. Whatever the deep was there now, because God had created some things. The waters were already there, because God has now created those things. Because now he says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So God had created the waters. And then God said, he looked, he didn't like the darkness. So he said, let there be light. So he formed the light, and then God saw that it was good, and so forth. Then he called the light day, called the darkness, because separated them, night. There were some principles working here. But beyond that, let's see what began to happen here in, if you go down to verse 6, so let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, let it divide the waters from the waters. Then God spoke something. Something happened, you know, here. And God made the firmament, divided the waters above, and so forth. He called the firmament heaven and all that. Then he began to speak to these waters. Let the waters that be under the heaven, let them be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And he called the dry land something. The gathering of the waters, he also called seas. What did he call the dry land? Earth. So that's telling you this, giving you, go into details of what was summarized in verse 1. Now we're seeing the details of all of that. And then, you know, God now began to speak to these things after forming the earth and so on and so forth. He's now speaking to the earth to do certain things. He has formed the earth now. So the other things that he wants to create, he's going to use these things that he already created. So now he speaks to the earth. Let the earth bring forth grass. Now, he did not create the grass out of nothing. The earth and the other things that he created first, though he created out of those ones, he created out of nothing. But now these ones, this next set of things, he's going to use the things that he already created. Now he's going to speak to the earth. Let the earth bring forth grass. Let it bring forth herb, yielding seed after its kind. Let it bring forth the tree. Let it bring forth, you know, seed in the tree and all these things. And he saw it was good, you know. And then he also spoke to the firmament. He said, let there be lights in the firmament. You kind of like all of a sudden certain things started to happen in the firmament, which was already there, creating lights and so forth. And then he said, well, let these lights, he said, put some principles in place here. Let these lights be for seasons, you know, and for signs, and for days, and for years. Now, some people understand that these lights are for seasons, and they can actually have some understanding, you know, the clustering of the lights, the way the lights form, and so forth. There are some false religions that have been clustered around trying to figure out these lights, but they are there nonetheless. And the lights in the heavens were there, gave them, you know, instruction. He said, well, you know, let these lights that are there, let them give light upon the earth. And it was so. And so that was an ordinance that got put in place. He also made two great lights, one to rule the light day and one to rule the night. And it was so. And he said all these things. Then you drop down here to verse 20 and you see that he's saying something else. He's asked the earth to bring forth things. Now he's going to turn to the waters to bring forth things. Now let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature. So we see now he's using the waters to create the moving creature, you know. And these are principles. And as we were talking one of those days, we talked about, you know, how God can use what's already in your hand. That's a principle. These principles are here, you know. God can take something that's already there, maybe a little, and he can use it to make something else. And, you know, and then he began to put a principle here, like, you know, he said, let these things, let them be fruitful and let them multiply. All these things that have life in them, let them multiply. And they must continue to regenerate and bring forth more, you know, constantly. And we see that that was so. And then he spoke again to the earth and back to the earth and said, well, let the earth also bring forth living creature after its kind. Now, yeah, the earth is going to do this now. The earth brought forth the tree, the seed, all these things. Now the earth is going to bring forth living creature too. Some living creature came from the sea. Some came from the earth. But at this point, the sea and the earth were already there, the land. And so God made cattle and everything that creepeth. And God said that it was good. And he did put all these things in place. Now, finally, after doing all that, what else was it for him to do? Well, he has made everything. He has put principle in everything. Everything should multiply. Everything should be fruitful. Everything should produce. And it will be so forever. You know, because once God said it, that's it. Now, he said, okay, what else? Well, I need to reproduce myself, you know, because somebody's got to run these things. God doesn't want to be the one running it. Yeah, so he said, well, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Image and likeness means he wanted the man to be just like him, be after his likeness, have his DNA, if you want to call it that, and be able to do things like he could do. So that's what after our likeness means, the way we function, you know. And who's we here? Christ and the Spirit of God. That's the we. Because we see in Colossians 1:15, Christ is the image of the invisible God. Also in Hebrews 1, verse 3, you see that Christ is the express image of the invisible God. The brightness of his glory. So, if he was talking to somebody that shared his image, it had to be Christ. And you will remember that the Lamb was slain before the world began. You know, according to Revelation 13 and 18 and some other places, we see that, you know, Christ was there even before the world began. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 tells us that too. His goings have been from of old. So, Spirit of God, who is God himself, knowing that, you know, Christ would eventually come in the body of man for redemption. He knew all these things even before there was anybody to cause the problem that will necessitate Christ coming to redeem us. He already knew that. He said to the Christ, you know, hey, make man in this image and let them have dominion. That was a principle, a governing, a set of governing laws that God was putting into place here. And one of them was he was putting the authority in the man to have dominion over all these things that he created for the purpose of, you might call it, colonization. Heaven, God was already king, you know, had these attributes in himself. Had to have some more stuff. And then colonize, expand to the earth. I'm going to put this man in charge so he can bring the earth into alignment. Remember, do you understand the ordinances of heaven? And can you set their dominion on the earth? The earth must be under dominion of the ordinances of heaven. Yeah? Who's going to do it? The man. The man was given charge. And then God said, when he created the man in his own image, put his DNA inside the man, breathed into the man, deposited in the man all that the man would need, you know, carries, you know, divinity inside of him, now carries God's DNA. He's like God. He can think and function like God. You know, he can do the things like God. He's like a mini creator himself. I mean, he can do certain things. God now say, yeah, this is good. You know, I can rest now. The man is here. He's in charge. He can do these things. So God took a step back and said to the man, hey, you know, what are you going to call these things? All these things that are made. What are you going to call them? And instantly, the man had enough understanding and knowledge. These are principles of creation. The man had instant knowledge. Same knowledge that was in God. The man had it. To name all those animals. And everything else too. The man also had dominion over everything. All the animals were subject to him, the plants, everything. They were all good. They were all subject to. And there were certain principles that were working there. And then there was another principle that God instituted. He said, well, in this kingdom, we follow rules. Follow rules, you know. So here is a rule, you know. Take care of this garden and so forth. Here's another rule. You can eat of all this stuff over here. But this one, don't mess with it. It's a rule. And then in the day that you eat of it, you will die. So God introduced some principles there. Certain things to follow, you know. And in a kingdom and in a colony, for instance, you know, when the colony decides to declare independence from the governing kingdom, well, then you are on your own. So, you know, I grew up in a country that was a colony of the United Kingdom, you know, and after a while, that country where I grew up or was born, they decided to declare independence, become their own republic, declare independence from the governing kingdom. They said, we want our independence. Governing kingdom said, cool, you are on your own now. Before that, the United Kingdom was helping to develop the colony. And when the colony said, no, we don't have any part of that anymore, though. They called home their own governors. Yeah, they are on their own. Likewise, there's a principle there. Likewise, in the kingdom of heaven, sin, like God showed us in giving Adam some rule. Later on, we learned that that was sin, the sin of disobedience, what they did. Sin is the declaration of independence from God. Disobedience is sin. And it's a declaration of independence. God said, do it this way. He said, no, I'm going to do it some other way. Well, now you're on your own. You know, on your own now. And immediately from that point on, glory left. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that, you know, fell from the glory. All have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. Now, that's the glory of God that was in place. You know, the benefits of the governing kingdom that were in place. Once the colony, determines that they declare independence, then they lose that. And you're on your own. You're going to do your own development now. You struggle, you whatever, that's fine. The other kingdom doesn't care. Because basically, you've booted them out. So man booted God out of his life by disobedience. Because the principle that works in the kingdom is God says and we do. That's it. If you decide to not do, then you've broken the principle. See, it's a concept of the keys that work in the kingdom. Principles, laws, systems by which things function. All these things were there. There are also systems and laws and stuff that we've learned throughout the Bible. You know, one time we learned that God can actually, give instructions to certain forces. They might be angels to oversee certain things or go do things or make sure certain things happen. We read a story in 1 Kings 22. You know, one day God said, well, who's going to go down there and make sure that this evil man falls at Ramath Gilead? We read that story. We've talked about that before. We also read in Psalm 103, verse 20, and we read in Psalm 91 also, that God has given charge to his angels. They have their orders. The orders in one place is keep my people, you know, make sure they don't dash their foot against a stone. Well, what happens then if you dash your foot against a stone? Maybe you broke something. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8, we read a principle. He that breaks a hedge, that's a principle. A serpent will come in and bite. Now, the serpent is like a viper called up, looking for how to strike. Sometimes he will strike and hit a brick wall because you have that shield of faith around you. You have the glory of God around you. And he tries to strike, boom, and he hits a brick wall. It's like a force field that's around you. And so he's patiently called looking for a crack in that hedge that you have. You see that in the story of Job. Satan came and said, well, when the Lord said, this man, you know, have you checked him out? How he loves the Lord, as righteous, upright, and chooses evil and does all these things. And Satan said, well, of course, because you put a hedge around him. Why would he not serve you? You know, now touch that hedge now and let me be able to strike him and you'll see what he will do. And so we learned that there can be a hedge around. That's a principle too. But if you break the hedge, according to Ecclesiastes 10 and 8, there are many principles in the Bible. A serpent would strike. Now he has an opening that he can get through. We also read that if you dig a pit, that means foolishness, you will fall into it. You know, the prudent foresee the evil, but the foolish person are destroyed. So these are all principles throughout the Bible. You know, then we come to the story of Jesus. We see, you know, that Jesus with his disciples, he's demonstrating the same principles that we've seen before, even in the Old Testament, right? We've seen principles where there was a woman called the widow of Zarephath, and she had just a little thing. The prophet comes in there, speaks the word that God gives him, puts into that little thing, the barrel of meal, the cruse of oil, that's all they had left. It wasn't actually a big barrel because the woman said, it's only enough to bake one bread or meal. And my son and I, when we eat it, that's our last meal. We're going to die. That's it. So it wasn't, you know, a full barrel. It was just a little thing. Just a little thing. There was a principle that was operating there, you know, that Elijah used with the word of God. And we saw what happened. And the thing kept on increasing for a long time. We saw that Elisha used the same principle. When a widow woman cried unto him for help, because she couldn't pay her bills after her husband had died. We read all these stories in the Bible. And the widow woman cried to Elisha, look, you know my husband was a man of God, but now he's gone. He's the breadwinner. We don't have anything, and we can't pay our mortgage, can't pay our bills, and the creditors have come to take my sons away because of that. Well, I saw another principle operating. Elisha says, what do you have in the house? And that was a principle there. Now, these are the stories that I said I was going to tell you, and you're going to try to figure out the principles that are operating. So I'm giving you some examples. The principles here, just like in the creation, after God put something out there, then he used that thing to do something else. It's a principle there. Now, what do you have in the house? I have nothing. Well, think again. Oh, yeah, I do have a little pot of oil. Well, that's good enough. Here are some instructions. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And then many wonderful things happened for the woman. She even started a small business later on. The prophet gave her instruction. You know, use what you have, get more, and sell it. The woman actually ended up selling the oil back to the neighbors that loaned her the pots for the increase. Think about it. Powerful stuff. So those are some principles. Moses was in at the Red Sea crying to the Lord, look at these people that you told me to bring up, you know, what, you know, this and so on. They are saying, why are you crying unto me? The Lord said, what is in your hand? That's another principle. You remember, I put this rod in your hand to do many things. What is it? It's still in your hand, isn't it? Well, do something, you know. So that's a principle. Jesus, the same thing. You know, the disciples come to him. It's now even, these people have been following you for days. They've run out of food. The stores are closing. Send them away so that they can go and eat. They can come back some other time. You know, Jesus said, no, you don't need to send them away. You give them food. Food? There are over 5,000 people here, not even counting the women and the children. How in the world are we going to give all these people food? I mean, how much money do we need, even if we could? Where are we going to find that much bread? And Jesus said, well, what do you have? It's a principle operating there as well. What do you have? He said, well, you know, we don't know. You know, they're asking around. One little boy raises his hand and says, hey, I got something. You know, I got a lunch my mama packed for me. I haven't eaten it. She knew I could be out for some time, so she got this. You know, I'm willing to give it. And say, oh, well, thank you, little boy. Somebody rubs his head, gets it from him, brings it to Jesus. And say, well, and they say, but what is this among so many? I mean, it's a little boy's lunch meant for one person. Maybe he'll eat two or three times out of it, but it's only meant for him. How can we use this? Jesus said, it is enough. It's a principle there. You put it in the hands of the master, right? The master takes it, lifts up his eyes into heaven, gives thanks that this little is already enough. He's not looking for something else. It's enough. He knows the principle. He was the creator, the inventor of that principle. So he knows how it works. Yeah. Give it to me. They give it to him. He blesses it. He gives it back to them. Now, he didn't give it to the crowd. He gives it back to the disciples. You give me something, I'm going to bless it. I'm going to put it back in your hand. You go do something with it. And then he gives them instructions. That's a principle working there. Now, as they were going, there was another principle that was working. Put them in companies, he said. That's something that you must keep doing. You got to keep believing when you finish supplying the first 50 or 100 or whatever, move on to the next. In the meantime, don't be thinking that, is this going to work? It worked the first time. It's going to work again. It's a principle. Works all the time. Keep on believing. As long as there is another pot you to pour the oil into, it will flow. As long as there is still more people to feed, the bread and fish will multiply in your hands. Huh? It's a principle. And these things are working. The principle. And so these things are throughout the Bible. Here's another two powerful stories that I want to tell. Then I'm going to throw it out. And you can bring your own stories and tell us which principles were working, which keys are working. Now remember, many keys. The name of Jesus, key. Knowledge, it's a key. Faith, it's a key. You know, understanding. Add understanding. In the book of Luke 11:52. That's what Jesus said about understanding. He said, ye lawyers, woe unto you, because you lock, you know, you take the key, you basically hijack the key of understanding from people. You confuse them, you twist them up. You know. But Jesus calls understanding key. Said the key of understanding. That's a powerful key. You know, said, look, get wisdom with it. All you're getting, get understanding. That's a powerful key. Jesus himself said, look, when you hear the message of the kingdom and you don't understand it, the devil's going to come and pluck it out of your heart. So understanding is so powerful. It is also the key for retaining the mysteries of the kingdom. if you hear it and you don't, well, then if you don't have understanding, then you will lose it. So, you know, powerful stories. These two next stories. One woman came to Jesus one day. We call this woman the Syrophoenician woman. Yeah? She reached out and used certain principles, which nobody else knew, but she figured it out somehow. You know, because she said, look, thou son of David. you can't call Jesus son of David when you are not of the tribe of the Jews. You know, he's not son of David to you if you are a Greek. It was a Greek woman. Can't use that title. Son of David only to the house of David. You know, so, well, she used that title anyway. So Jesus ignored her. Then, I'm not sent to the Greeks or this and that, only to the house of the Jews. But Jesus was looking to bring something out because he already knew the end of the story before the story even started. So, says to the woman, after ignoring her for a while, says to her, well, you know, it's not right for me to take what belongs to children and give it to dogs. Now, that's the principle there. But this woman, she used another principle. I'm going to let you tell us what that other principle is. You know, so the woman says, well, Master, what you have said is right. It is. I mean, truly, when the children haven't eaten, how are you going to serve their food to the dogs? Dogs are dogs. Children are children. So I understand that. But, but after the children have eaten, the leftovers, or while they are eating, the crumbs that fall to the ground, then those belong to the dogs. And said, that's good enough for me. Jesus said, wow. This woman actually pierced what I call the veil of time, dispensation of time, because Jesus said, I am not sent right now, but unto the house of Israel. It's not yet time. But she pierced the veil by a principle. And Jesus said, wow, I haven't seen this thing. This is great. Another man came to Jesus called the centurion. Powerful story. My servant is sick. Before he even finished speaking, Master said, I will come and heal him. And the man said, we don't need you to come. I'm not even worthy. You know, who am I? You know, I wasn't asking you to come, but I was just telling you that my servant is sick. But what I need from you is you just speak the word. Why would speaking of the word heal his servant who was probably miles away? Because Jesus already said, I'm coming to heal him. Jesus' presence, maybe he would lay hands on the man, maybe he would rebuke the fever or whatever, you know, would have healed the man for sure. But this man now pulls out something else, which nobody had seen. Even Jesus said, I hadn't seen it. He pulls out something else now. He said, look, I myself, in my career, I'm a centurion. I have 100 soldiers under me. You know, I have the authority of Rome with me here. If I say to one go, he must go. And he goes. If I say to one come, he must come. And he comes. If I say to another, do this, he must do it. And he does it. This is me talking to these people, giving them commands, and they are doing it like I say. Now, this is my realm, but I also understand that you, see, this man had a principle, understanding, you know, but Jesus called it faith. This man said that I understand how things work. Some commander gives command and people must do it. That's how it works. I know that. You are also a commander in the spirit. This man figured it out. I know, you know. I think this man has seen Jesus in some rallies, for those Roman soldiers, they are there when there's, you know, thousands of people to make sure there's law and order. This man has seen Jesus in some rallies. He has heard some things. So look, I know you can do the same thing. All you got to do, I couldn't do it. See, this man knew he can command his servants, he can command the soldiers, but he couldn't command a sickness. That was beyond his pay grade, if you want to call it that. You know, so, but he knew somebody could do it. He said, look, I know how these things work. Yeah, you know, you also can do the same thing in your level, at your realm. This sickness is beyond me. I couldn't do it, but I know you can. All you got to do, just like I do, you speak the word only. You don't even need to come. My servant will be healed. The moment you speak that word, huh? Glory to God. Jesus said, oh my goodness. He looked at his disciples and said, look, I have never seen anything like this. Not in all of Israel. My goodness. This is faith. Great faith. He was impressed. But he was understanding. This man understood how things functioned. Yeah, you just say, well, you know, it's done. And it was done. So, these are stories, and I can go on and on and on. There's so many of these things in the Bible. There are principles that are operating throughout the times that these people use these things. Jesus told many parables of how we must be resilient in prayer. There are stories like that in the Bible that demonstrate those principles. The woman who was kept asking the judge to do something for her, and the man wouldn't respond to her initially in Luke chapter 18, but the woman kept bugging him. And so finally he said, look, you know, if the woman was there morning till night, by the time the gates were able to close or about to close, they sent the woman home. She had to leave, but she came back the next day as soon as the gates were open. And all day long, she would stand there protesting and, you know, appealing. You know, and the day would be over. They sent her over away again. She come back the next day. On and on and on. So finally, this judge said, look, there's only one way to get rid of this woman. Just give what you need, you know. Dispatches an officer, go take care of what she wants. You know, once you take care of what she wants, I'll have some peace around here. You know, so, and Jesus said, look at what the unjust judge did. Consider that when you're dealing with your relationship between you and your father, if somebody who didn't care, an ungodly judge, acted like this because of the woman's persistence, what do you think? That's a principle that Jesus was teaching there. You know, and Jesus said, well, think about it. And that principle, you know, we see that it's already in the Bible, right? Somewhere. And Jesus was referring to it. He said, well, Isaiah talks about, you know, why you are praying and hear you and so forth. But more than that, you know, he says, well, ye that make mention of the Lord, Isaiah 62, you know, verses 6 and 7. Give him no rest until he does the thing that you are trying to do. That was a principle. Jesus knew it. And he was telling it in this lesson. And this woman was not going to give the judge any rest. The man did what she wanted. Isaiah says the same thing. Ye that make mention of the Lord, give him no rest till he establish and he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Well, you may not be Jerusalem that you are praying for. It may be whatever. And it's the same principle. Until he does the thing. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't quit. You know, especially if you know God already promised it. Stay with it, even if you don't see it. Yeah, Elijah demonstrated the same thing. God told him rain was coming. He sent Ahab away to go prepare. He said, rain is coming, but I get away from here. It's going to be a downpour. But there was no downpour. Yeah. And he had to go pray for it. And the first time he said, Lord, you said there was going to be a downpour. I don't see anything. But he knew it's coming as a prophet. He already heard it in the spirit. He said, I hear the abundance of rain, sound of abundance. Send his servant, go check it out. The man, you know, because the man is in a vantage point. So he goes a little bit higher on the hill, looks over on the sea, you know, at the horizon. Say, well, I don't see anything. Comes back, tells the man of God. He's got his head down, you know, between his knees, he's praying. So I see nothing. You know, which is discouraging because God already says it's coming, but then it's not there. There's nothing. The heavens are brass. It's clear, not a cloud in the sky. You know, I said, well, I got to pray some more then. See, because God already said it. I know it's coming. If I don't see it, I got to keep praying. That's a principle. You know, and he was using it. He prayed some more. Go check it out. 7 times like that. And the man would pray. It wasn't a 10-second prayer. I guarantee you. Because James talked about it. He said, this man prayed fervently in James chapter 5. You know. So, pray. Nothing was happening. But he kept praying. Nothing was happening. Kept praying. Nothing was happening. Check it out. Nothing. Check it out. Nothing. Pray some more. Nothing. That was a principle. That was a principle of stay with it. Don't give in. Don't give up. And Jesus was telling the same, you know, teaching the same thing. Stay right there, you know, and keep asking until you get it. Don't walk away. Keep on asking. Keep on bugging the judge until you get what you want, you know. And Elijah did the same thing. Finally, there was a deluge of rain. But, you know, I don't know. Might have taken an hour plus, you know, pray that thing down. I don't know how long it took him. Even something God already promised, something God already showed him, but yet it wasn't coming. But he stayed right there with it. Yeah. Jesus told many lessons like that. And this woman's story of the judge was one. Another one in Luke 11 was about the man that went to his friend's house at midnight to knock. Say, I just got a visitor that came from out of town. Stores are closed. Can you lend me some loaves of bread? I'll pay you back in the morning. When I go, the store's open, I go buy and bring it. So the man said, go away. My children are sleeping. You know, now, the man at the door, a couple of choices. You can go away because the man refused, you know, to respond in kind for what you are asking. Or you can keep asking. Well, the man kept asking. I need something for my visitor. Can you just lend me a couple of loaves? I'll give you back in the morning. And he's knocking. And the man said, my children are in bed. Go away. He said, no, he knocks some more. So this man on the inside, he's thinking, look, if I don't get up and give this man what he wants, he's going to wake up the whole house. Because the man is not going. He keeps knocking. The best way to get rid of him is get up and give him what he wants. And yeah, Jesus told these stories and some principles that he's teaching there. All right, enough said. So, what are we saying here? There are principles of how things work. And if you align that with the lesson of the physical key, then you remember that we said you may have a key and it still may not work. Either because you don't know how to use the key or you don't know what lock it opens. Or you can have a bunch of keys and you don't know what to do with them because you don't know which keys or which locks they open or which doors they open. So is everyone that has a bunch of promises in the Bible that doesn't know how to use them. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out of him. They didn't know how to use the name. They didn't meet the conditions or principles of preparation of their hearts. And they just threw the name out there, you know. But that's, they've seen Paul do it. So can we just go out there and throw it? It did not work in their hands. It worked with Paul and it worked for Paul, but it wasn't working for these people. What's the difference? Well, that's what these lessons are about. So ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Now, for the rest of today, I want to engage you in the faith lab. What is a lab again? At the beginning, I said it. A lab is a place not only of experimentation, but a lab where you prove things. It's a place where you prove things. You may start out to prove a theory and or practice something. And when you get it right, then you know it works. And from that point on, I mean, there are certain labs that are both research and development and also manufacturing, production, such as pharmaceutical labs. In one place, testing a new formula and doing this thing and so on and so forth. Same lab, in one section of it, and doing all these things, checking it out, see what comes out, doesn't come out right, they toss it. They try it again, doesn't come out right, they toss it. Try it again. Someday, they perfect it. Say, that's it. When they perfect it, they grab the formula and the set of processes that was used. They document, it's all documented. And from that point on, there's another section in the lab that's using those. It's no longer trial and error now. They figured it out. If you do this, take one measure of this, two measures of that, and this, put this much pressure, that much this much that, and everything, it's going to come out like this. Now it's science. Figured it out. And out comes all these medicines and some other things. Because now they've perfected it. Huh? So, faith can be a science too. It's not trial and error. You find what God has said on the matter. You affirm it. You mean it. You expect it. And you doubt nothing. It's a science. It works. Now, what we're going to do in the rest, in the remaining hour or so, is to hear from you. Remember I said at the beginning, when you go to the lab, not the classroom. Classroom is where the teacher is teaching the lesson. Yeah? When you finish in the physics classroom or the chemistry classroom, on another day, you're going to have lab, not just classroom. When you go to the lab, it's not the teacher that is teaching for an hour. It's all the students, every student must experiment and do these things and try to come out with the same results or prove what it is they're trying to prove. So now we're going into the faith lab. That's what the faith lab is, in case you've never heard it before. I have done the classroom instruction. Now you have to do the practicals. That's what we used to call them back then. Call them practicals. So now you have to do the practicals. So Father, we thank you. We give you, Lord, the praise for the instruction that we are giving. Jesus said, every scribe that is instructed into the concept of the kingdom is like a householder that can now bring new things out of his house. Not just the old that he had before, but now he can bring new treasures out of his house. Praise the Lord. I pray that we will be like that person that was instructed, you know, into the kingdom. We'll bring forth those good treasures now, new treasures. We discover new things. That's what discovery is all about. We're discovering new things because of the principles of the kingdom of heaven that we are hearing about. We're understanding the concept that's behind how those keys function. Give us this understanding, Lord, and help us as we engage. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name, amen and amen.